Now, these ices exist under different conditions of pressure and temperature, and are, except for ordinary ice, which is ice one, are not stable. At, shall we say, room temperatures. They're formed under conditions of very high pressure and low temperatures, basically. And the phase diagrams describing the areas of stability were originally measured by Professor Bridgman as part of his general research program. Professor Bridgman felt subsequently that it would be of interest to have the actual molecular structure of these ices available. So he asked me whether I could do this if he would furnish me with the ice samples. This required the design of a special X-ray camera to operate at very low temperatures, namely liquid nitrogen. And the transference of the ice samples from his pressure apparatus to the X-ray camera. This could be done because at low temperatures, namely liquid nitrogen temperatures, the ice forms 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, once formed, would remain stable in these high pressure forms at ordinary pressures. Apparently, the molecular motion of the molecules was insufficient at these low temperatures to disturb the crystal structure. So, it was possible to obtain X-ray diffraction patterns of ices 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Subsequently, on the basis of these photographs, it was possible to actually work out the crystal structures of ices 2, 3, and 5. 4 and 6 on the normal powder scattering patterns, which were the technique used to analyze ices 4 and 6 from the powder patterns alone. It is possible, using Lowy diffraction patterns perhaps, to gain sufficient additional information to analyze ices 4 and 6. This was not done because of time limitations. So, the information was made available as to the position of the various lines in all of these diffraction patterns, so that if anybody subsequently wished to work them out using modern techniques, as for example the application of computer redundancy measurement, possibly 4 and 6 could have been done. But that was where, so far as I know, this work stopped. I was approached many years later, in fact, shortly after the end of World War II, by Professor Linus Pauling, as to whether I would make my photographs available to him, so that some of his students could go on from there. Unfortunately, in the multitude of moves which became necessary during World War II, those photographs could not be located. What was actually done on a trip to the West Coast, I sat down with Professor Pauling and one of the young assistant professor of geology who was working with Professor Pauling, sketched out in detail how the apparatus was formed, the approaches that were made, the precautions that it was necessary to take, so that from that point on,